Welcome back to News and Views as we come to you live from the Radisson in Bismarck, where the Greater North Dakota Chamber is holding its policy summit, and we'll be sharing a lot of that with you. One of the conversations that's going to be held today is on higher education. Thus, the reason that we asked State Senator David Hogue to join us. He was elected to the State Senate in 2008, serves as chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, is chairman of the Senate Republican Caucus, and he's an attorney in private practice, a combat veteran who served in Afghanistan, which means I'm going to begin this by saying thank you for your service to our country, Senator.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Higher ed, when you get in that ballot box and you get a chance to vote to eliminate the State Board of Higher Education, how are you going to vote?
I'm going to vote yes.
Why?
Well, a couple reasons. We've had this discussion, obviously, on the Senate floor and in the legislative arena, but we're going to have that discussion publicly like we are today. A couple reasons. One, we crossed a threshold a couple years ago with higher education. We went over $1 billion that we're spending on this state enterprise to educate our students and the students that come in from other states. And so we decided to look at the leadership model of higher education, and we decided that it was not up to the job of that size of an organization. And we were supported in that notion by the comments of the board members who were getting off the board. We had Claus Lemke, who resigned in 2012 and said it was too much. It was interfering with his job. He understood that it was going to be one meeting a month, but he said publicly that everywhere I went, people wanted to talk higher education. And when I showed up for a meeting of higher education, this is Claus Lemke's public comments, he said, I thought I'd get a 10 or 12 page packet and I'd get between 300 and 600 pages. Adjutant General, former Adjutant General Mike Haugen, who was the Adjutant General of the North Dakota National Guard during 9/11, said it was easier to travel to the Middle East and to visit with the troops than it was to serve on the Board of Higher Education. Former President Richie Smith from your neighborhood said, I'm just tired. I've got a law practice. I have a family. I can't not keep up with this. John Baucus, who's an attorney, a colleague of mine up in Minot, said the same thing. This is interfering with my business and my family. And so when you hear those kind of comments from the past five board members who've gone off, you begin to wonder, is this enterprise really suitable for a once-a-month board?
I'm going to preface this by saying many of the names you just mentioned, all on different sides of political aisles, I respect. A lot of the names, and to me, they're very, very intellectual men. Mm-hmm. That being said, have you as a Senate done your job in the confirmation process of making sure you get the right people? Because there have been people I wouldn't say that about on this Board of Higher Education.
That's a fair question, and I've wondered that myself. We have a confirmation process, and you're probably familiar with the way it works, many of your listeners aren't. Three or four senators are appointed to a confirmation committee. They interview the candidate for 1 hour, and then it's an up or down vote. And I would say we haven't done as good a job as we could.
It's a tough job, in fairness to you. Yeah, I mean, we went in one time, and we purposely kind of picked a fight with a conferment, and we did that because we felt the interview went badly. We knew and we felt she should be confirmed, but we wanted to send a message that, hey, come in prepared, come in ready to serve, and don't just assume that we're a rubber stamp. And and that was a bipartisan kind of effort to do. That being said, I'm not sure we did one lick of good that day.
Yeah, we've had discussions within our caucus, and I'm sure the minority caucus has, about sending a message, because you get somebody who makes a comment that from policy perspective you don't agree with, but then the other part of it is, you know, if we don't approve these people, who's going to come forward to serve?
Yeah,
and it's I empathize with them. They're in a fishbowl. A comment from a former president, Grant Shaft, he's still on the board, is that, you know, it's a good day when the joke in his family is it's a good day when we're not in the news or we're not being.
And they are today.
Yeah.
They are today. The independent review that they hired from a consultant said, you know what, you're letting certain presidents of campuses lead you, and you're not mm-hmm. providing the leadership yourself. Mm-hmm. And so it plays right into the debate you're about to have publicly over whether or not this measure should pass. That does beg the question, though, is the governor giving you the right slate of people to vote on, to do this? Because I've always felt that the governor kind of gets, no matter who the governor is, because this has been around for different parties, governors, but I think the governors get kind of a break on some of this. They look mm-hmm. at people in their lives politically, and they say, okay, this guy was good to me, that guy was good, you know what I mean? And,
right.
and it shouldn't be that. And I are you comfortable that the governors are giving you the right people to confirm?
Well, we've got, if you know the nomination process, and by the way, the nomination process under the proposed constitutional measure is substantially the same as it is under existing constitutional law.
They still got to come before you.
Yeah, but you're supposed to get the Chief Justice, the Superintendent of Public Instruction, a member of the Education Association, and a couple others to nominate and to screen these folks. And I think, to your question, one of the things that we could do better is to tell and try to educate these applicants what they're in for.
By applying what you're getting into.
Have them talk to Klaus Lemke.
Yeah.
Because
I have a lot of respect for Klaus Lemke. I do. Let me throw this at you. These are two concerns that people have brought up in all of this, okay? One, accreditation. That the model you're putting in is going to wreck accreditation for North Dakota. True or not?
False.
How come?
Well, yeah, let me take a minute to explain that. We have over 76 programs in higher education that are accredited by one body or another. I mean, the American Bar Association, for example, comes in to look at our law school. We have all these accrediting organizations coming to our universities, and not just accrediting a system or a institution, but programs. And it's a give-and-take process. They come in and say, well, this is where you need to improve. This is where you need to have perhaps more funding, perhaps better qualified personnel, etc., etc. And the Higher Learning Commission has basically said we want, and what they require, the bottom line issue is we require a governing body that has autonomy, independence. The constitutional measure does not affect the autonomy one bit. It's the same.
Okay, Senator, and I only have a limited time here. Can you hang with me? I know you want to get
sure.
to that conference, because and ponder this question while we're on break here. The question I have is, when you look at how this is going to shake out, are you fearful at all that that three-member, whatever you're going to call it, board, is going to be political? Okay, so stick around. More coming your way on News and Views. My apologies go out to Senator Hoag, because I said he was from Bismarck. He's from the magic city of Minot. Senator, I hope you take those apologies. It tells you how long I've been out of the Senate. You came in after I was gone.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, I grew up in Bismarck. So,
okay, so a little bit of a base there.
I claim both of them.
Okay, good. So the question I raised before the break was, you know, you've got a governor appointing three people that basically work for the governor. Does higher ed become the chief election issue? Has it become so political? There's been people who have served in your chamber, served with me, served with you, who served as state senators who also worked in higher education. And there's all this talk about, well, he's just going to appoint those kind of individuals, and basically they're going to be kind of political hacks, so to speak, for lack of a better way to put it. Are you concerned about that?
I'm not, because we're not changing the independence of this three-member commission. They're going to have the same independence that the Board of Higher Ed has now, and it's embedded within the Constitution. Yes, the governor appoints them, but he appoints board members today. So I'm not concerned about it. We're not going to ever remove politics from higher education or from any of our larger state agencies. I mean, you get an issue like the Fighting Sioux or athletic programs, there's a lot of alumni in the state that feel very passionately, and some of them are politically active, and they're going to reach out to leaders, and you're always going to have that. So if I go back to board member Grant Schaaf's comments that it's a good day when we're not on the TV or in the newspaper, the Board of Ed is always going to be in the spotlight because they're leading a institution that we all care a lot about.
Let me go the other way on that same question with that same vein. Do you believe this puts more accountability then with the governor's office?
No, I don't. I don't. I think it'll be the same. The way I see it, it's when we looked around for a leadership model, we looked at the Public Service Commission. The Public Service Commission is a three-member commission. Now it happens to be elected, and this would be appointed, but it's a three-member commission, and it regulates a diverse group of industries from electrical, telecommunications, siting of interstate pipelines, grain elevators, auctioneers, and I think they do a pretty good job, even though it's a partisan commission. This is going to be a nonpartisan commission, and it's going to have autonomy. So, yes, it's going to be appointed by the governor, but I don't think it's going to be the governor's lapdog, if that's the concern.
Did you look at other states when you were picking out this model to advance to the voters in North Dakota? Are other states using this model instead of a board?
To your first question, no, we did not look to other states. We looked internally. What has worked for us? The Industrial Commission is another three-member commission, regulates the Bank of North Dakota, the State Mill and Elevator, the energy industry, our housing, our low-income housing, and our housing finance office. So we looked internally. What has worked for us historically in North Dakota?
You know, you've won election. You sit in the North Dakota State Senate, so you know what it's like to put in a yard sign. Mm-hmm. Where do you see the money coming from to have this debate? The conservation measure, you know who's lined up, and there's
money
against it. There's money for it. Who's gonna invest in going out and making sure the people in North Dakota hear about this?
Well, I am. I'm here today to do just that. I want to have a public discussion. I'm grateful for you and the Greater North Dakota Association for having these public discussions. Because, as you know, in your service in the Senate, the legislature can put measures on the ballot, and so can the people. But one of the great disadvantages, I think, of initiated measures is, you know, you get a group of people and they decide what they want, and they go out and get the signatures, and there's no compromise process. There's no ability to look at it and say, oh, that's a mistake, let's amend it. And so I want to make sure that everybody knows exactly why this is on the ballot. We have a large industry. We need full-time people to lead it. And we need to give them the time to be strategic leaders, which is, it's no criticism of the existing board, but I don't think they have time to be strategic leaders. I think they come to these meetings and they put out fires and they respond to crises, but they're not leading strategically.
I'm not trying to pick on your measure. I love things of it, and I love some of what I've heard from you today. So I truly am going to listen to all sides of this. What I don't like is how we as senators in my day, and I think still in your day, could ever rein in some of this. Because we had a role in that too. And we'd sit there and we'd walk into appropriations committees. We'd see chairmen of appropriation committees who were basically carrying water for higher education. Mm-hmm. They're placed on there about higher education.
Right.
That was it was like, okay, check box number one. Yep, he can be chair. And we didn't have the courage because of a winning football team or whatever to look at them and say, no, you don't get everything you want. We want these credits to transfer. You will embrace this. We don't need to duplicate these programs. We don't need to compete against each other. You are a system, and we are funding you, and you will work the way we design you. And I don't think we as legislators ever did that well enough in our time. And I'm curious what your thoughts on that are.
I agree with you 100%. You know, if you look at the budget today of higher education, about $1.1 billion, you realize we spent over 25% of that on new buildings. And new buildings do not educate our young people. I think we'll look back on what we did the last session and we'll think, what were we thinking? 24% of the budget is going to new buildings. We've got graduation rates at 47% in our four-year universities. That's 10% below the national average. to me, that's an all hands on deck. Let's solve that problem first, and we'll build a shiny new building later.
Promise me this: when we get closer to this, the people that take an opposite position of you on this, mm-hmm. you'll go on air and we'll debate it. Okay?
Yes, I'd
Can
love
we do
to.
That?
I'd love to,
Senator.
Do that.
Thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
Really
sir.
Appreciate you coming by and taking the time.